Can people hear it?
Okay. I'd like to talk about our recent QKD experiment using entangled photon pair. This view graph outlines my talk. After a brief background, I'll talk about a kind of modified BBM-92 entanglement-based QKD scheme with double-click monitoring, which is just explained by the previous speaker, Professor Kawashi. And then I'll talk about the two key elements of our experiment. One is sinusoidally gated InGaAs APDs for single photon counting, and the other one is silicon-based entanglement source. And then I'll talk about our QKD experiment before summarizing my talk. Okay, in the last 15 years, we witnessed huge progress in the point-to-point QKD system using attenuated laser source. And recently, the maximum key distribution distance exceeded 200 kilometers, which is first set by our group in collaboration with NIST and Stanford in 2007 using differential phase shift protocol. And recently, Geneva University group reported a 250-kilometer key distribution over low-loss optical fiber using the coherent one-way protocol. But despite this experimental and the system success, there are several problems to be overcome. The first one is unconditional security. To realize unconditional security in the system is still difficult to achieve. For example, both of those two protocols used for 200-kilometer QKD still do not have unconditional security proof. So we need to find a way to realize unconditional security using a relatively simple way. And another big problem is the need for high-speed random number generator at a clock frequency of around 1 GHz. This is still a very difficult technology with the current technology level. So by using entanglement-based QKD, we can possibly solve those problems. And this view graph explains the typical entanglement-based QKD protocol proposed by Bennett, Brassard, and Marmi in 1992. Maybe I don't have to explain to today's experiment, but let me briefly remind you what the BBM-92 protocol is. In this protocol, we prepare lots of entangled photon pairs. In this example, polarization entanglement, which consists of photon A and photon B. Photon A's are sent to ARIS, photon B's are sent to BOV. And both of ARIS and BOV are equipped with two non-orthogonal measurement bases. And they undertake a measurement for each incoming photon using the bases chosen from two non-orthogonal measurement bases. And after all those photon pairs are measured, then they disclose the measurement bases used for each photon measurement. Then, according to the characteristic of the entangled photon pairs, only when their measurement bases coincide, the results show 100% correlation. So, by extracting the event, the basis matched event, we can, ARIS and BOV can share the correlated measurement outcome that can be converted to the key for the cryptography. And there have been lots of entanglement-based QKD experiments reported so far. The first experiments were demonstrated in the year 2000, 10 years ago, by the group from Vienna, Los Alamos, and Geneva, independently. And in the last 10 years, there was lots of experiments over in the field. And still, this entanglement-based QKD has compared with the point-to-point QKD system, entanglement-based QKD has several merits and demerits. And I can think of only one clear merit of entanglement-based QKD with the current technology. I believe that we don't need a random number generator because this function is already built in the entanglement photon pair source. But maybe there may be some argument even with this remark. And there are still several problems with entanglement-based QKD. First, we can expect, we naively expect unconditional security can be achieved by using entangled pairs. But still, the unconditional security of the entanglement-based QKD has not been proven even recently using practical setup. So all of the previous experiments shown in this blue graph did not actually generate unconditional secure key. And another problem is that clearly we need a more complicated optical setup for telecom band entanglement generation than to simply use the attenuated laser source. And the third problem is that the key is based on the coincidence detection in this protocol. So that means the key rate is proportional to the square of the quantum efficiency of the detector. So it usually results in a very low key rate, especially at the telecom wavelength band. So to cope with those problems, we used security proof by Professor Kawashi and his coworker for this unconditional security problem, and use a simple entanglement source based on silicon technology for the source problem. And we also used a high-speed single photon detector based on sinusoidal gating technique. Okay, let me explain those things one by one. And in the BBM 92 QKD, with the practical setup, Eve can use the defect, namely the multiphoton emission of the entanglement source, to steal the information from between Alice and Bob. So in the previous security proof of the entanglement-based QKD, assumed that either of Alice or Bob have a photon number resolving detector to rule out this possibility. And of course, with the current technology level, the photon number resolving detector is very hard to implement in a real system. So in their paper shown here, the authors showed that by observing the double click at the either side of Alice or both, we can estimate the fraction of multiphoton emission events. So since the Eve cannot make both the error rate and the double click fraction to be zero simultaneously, we can derive the bound for the information leakage to the eavesdropper by using the experimentally obtained error rate and double click fraction. Okay, I skipped those things. Okay, then let me move on to the detector. I have no time to elaborate this type of detector, but in the conventional single photon counting in the 1.5 micrometer telecom band, we usually use the gated mode APD, gated mode INGAS APD, in which we apply the rectangular gate. And with the typical characteristic of this APD is actually a very slow. The gate frequency can be the maximum gate frequency was at most around 10 megahertz with this scheme. So single photon counting in the telecom wavelength band was usually very slow. On the other hand, in the time wave gating scheme, which is proposed by a Nihon University group in this paper, they apply the time wave signal as a gate to the APD. And they place the band rejection filter, which selectively suppresses the frequency component that corresponds to this sinusoidal gate. And by doing so, they can, at the output port of this filter, they can detect a smaller avalanche signal compared with the previous gated mode detector. And the smaller avalanche means smaller after-passing probability. That means if we accept a similar level of after-passing probability with a conventional gated mode detector, we can increase the gate frequency so much. And with with Nihon University's the latest result, they achieved the gate frequency up to 2 GHz. And based on this scheme, NTT has developed a the 500 megahertz gated mode ingress APDs, four channels of them. And this is the summary of our detector characteristics. And the main point is we achieved quantum efficiency of around 10% and a dark count rate of probability of about 10 to the minus 5th with at the gate frequency of 500 megahertz. And I'd like to stress those quantum efficiency and the dark count probability is very similar to the to those of conventional gated mode detectors operated at around 4 megahertz or 5 megahertz, something like that. So by with the same similar QE and the dark count rate characteristic, we can speed up the gate frequency by about 100 times. So those detectors are very powerful too for telecom band quantum communication experiment. Okay, then let me briefly mention our silicon-based entanglement source. For generating 1.5 micrometer entangled photon pairs, we use the nonlinear device called silicon wire waveguide. This is the SVM picture of our the waveguide, which is nanoscale single crystal single mode silicon waveguide, whose typical dimension is 400 nanometer width and 200 nanometer thickness. So this is a very small waveguide compared with conventional silica waveguide device. And this device is originally developed for making very small waveguide devices like filters, beam splitters, and interferometers. However, recently this waveguide is drawing attention as a nonlinear medium, because mainly because of this very small mode diameter, the light is confined in a very extremely small area inside the waveguide. So we can achieve high nonlinear effect inside the waveguide. And it is shown that this is a very good medium for 1.5 micrometer photon pair generation using spontaneous foil mixing inside this waveguide. And our group reported the first entanglement generation using this device in 2007. For the QKD experiment, we generated time-beam entanglement by injecting the coherent double pulse into the nonlinear medium, in this case, silicon waveguide, so that we can generate coherent superposition of a pair photon state at the first time slot and a pair photon state at the second time slot, which is given by this equation, which is called time-beam entanglement. That is first reported by the Geneva University group. And this is the typical two-photon interference fringe obtained with our silicon-based time-beam entanglement source. We obtained the TPI visibility of larger than 95% for two non-orthogonal measurement bases. And this visibility is just limited by the detector dark count. And recently, we developed a fiber-coupled silicon module, like shown in this picture. So this makes our experiment very simple and easy. Okay, finally, let me explain our QKD experiment. This is our experimental setup. We started from a CW light from this 1551.1 nanometer laser. This is set at a zero dispersion wavelength of the silicon waveguide. And this is modulated into a double pulse with an optical intensity modulator, with a clock frequency of 100 megahertz and a pulse interval of 2 nanoseconds, which corresponds to a 500 megahertz gated mode detector. And the pulse width of the pump pulse was 100 picoseconds. And those double pulses were amplified and filtered and injected into silicon wire waveguide module, whose waveguide length was 0.9 centimeters. And inside this waveguide, through the process of spontaneous foil mixing, we can generate 1.5 micrometer time beam entangled photon pairs with the average photon pair per qubit of 0.03. And then those photons are input into an optical filter to separate signal and ideal photons, whose wavelengths are shown here. And each photon are transmitted over dispersion sifted fiber, whose length was up to 50 kilometers. And each photon was detected by Alice and Bob, and both of them are equipped with one bit delayed Mach Zehnder interferometer, which was silica waveguide, SiO2 waveguide interferometer, not silicon. And the two output ports from those interferometers were detected by the 500 megahertz Ingers APD detectors. And the detection signals from those detectors are input into a time interval analyzer for the coincidence measurement. And using this setup, we measure the sifted key rate, error rate, and the double click fraction. Okay, I skip this. And those are the experimentally obtained error rate and the double click fraction as a function of a fiber length between Ariston ports. And as for the error rate, we obtained error rate less than 10% up to until 100 kilometers of a fiber transmission. And for the double click fraction rate, we obtained at the fiber distance of up to 0 and 20 kilometers, we obtained a double click fraction of the order of 10 to the minus 4. And this dotted line is the theoretical value calculated assuming Poissonian distributed photon pair source, which we think the valid assumption with our photon pair source. And unfortunately or fortunately, we didn't observe any double click at the distance of 50 and 100 kilometers. The main reason is it's just very rare. And at the 100 kilometer point, for example, we observed in 1 hour measurement, we observed the 11 kilobit sifted key. However, then the expected value of the double click was the calculated expected value was 0.6. So it's not surprising we didn't observe anything at those points. And according to this paper, Professor Koyashi's paper, they show the secure key rate as a function of delta, double click fraction. So according to this graph, the double click fraction of order of 10 to the minus 4 affects almost nothing to the secure key. Okay, using those results, we estimated the secure key rate that can be obtained with our experimental data. As a result, we obtained those red squares in this picture. At the fiber length 0, we obtained a secure key rate of 200 bit per second. And we obtained up to 100 kilometer transmission distance, although the secure key rate was very small. And we believe this is the first unconditionally secure entanglement-based QKD. And finally, I'd like to compare the present result with the previous telecom band entanglement-based QKD experiment, which are mainly done by Geneva University and ARGUS. And those black symbols are the previous data. And for example, at the length 0, the previous record of the secure key rate was about 20 bit per second, which is set by our group in collaboration with NIST and Stanford. In this experiment, we used a superconducting single photon detector. So those detectors features very low dark count rate, but unfortunately, quantum efficiency of that in that experiment was relatively low, about 1%. So that resulted in a very small secure key rate. On the other hand, in this experiment, thanks to the moderate level of quantum efficiency of our detector, we were able to increase the bit rate at short distance about 10 times. Okay, in summary, we have reported the first unconditionally secure entanglement-based QKD experiment using modified BBM-92 scheme using double click. Thank you very much. Thank you.